Turn in your Bibles here this morning, First Thessalonians chapter 5. And our text here this morning is taken from verse 27. First Thessalonians 5:27. And Randy, do you want to pick me up just a little bit on the mic here? Just a little bit, pick me up here. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look at this verse here this morning, I pray that you would grant us your tender mercies. Help me be a vessel that brings glory and honor to you and honors your Son and your Word. And Father, thank you for the hearts and minds of those that are here this morning. And I pray that your Word, the living Word of God, will take root in our hearts and deep root and bear fruit upward for the kingdom of God. So bless us as your people, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, John Killinger tells about a manager of a minor league baseball team who was so disgusted with his center field's performance that he ordered him to the dugout and assumed the position himself. The first ball that came into the center field took a bad hop and hit the manager right in the mouth. The next one was a high fly ball, which he got lost in the glare of the sun until it bounced off his forehead. The third was a hard line drive that he charged with his outstretched arms. Unfortunately, it flew between his hand and smacked him in the eye. Furiously, he ran to the dugout, grabbed the center fielder by the uniform, and shouted, "You idiot! You've got the center field so messed up that I can't do a thing with it." I read that and made me chuckle. I'm hoping you got some chuckle out of that. It did for me. But when I read that, you know what I thought about? Some people's lives are so messed up, and they blame everybody else. You know, you make a mistake, things aren't going well for you, and it's somebody else's fault. And that's so easy to do in life. We can look around, and we can have all kinds of messed up problems in our lives. But God has an answer for us. The title of my message here this morning, God's Desire Concerning His Word. Now, God says here in verse 27, "I charge you." That's interesting. I charge you. That's like saying, I'm putting you under an oath. I charge you. And it's a pretty strong affirmation here. It's a pretty strong word here. I charge you. I put you under an oath. Now, when you go into a court of law, you swear to tell the whole truth. And how's it go? I swear to tell the whole truth. I haven't been in court, so don't ask me, okay? Nothing but the truth, so help me God. Okay, those who've been in court a lot, help me out here, okay? And you swear. But what if you don't tell the truth? Is there a consequence to that? There is. It almost implies, if you were to read this, that Paul, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when he gave the word, "I charge you," it's almost an implication here. There's a downfall if we don't do this thing. Now, this was written to the Thessalonian believers, and many believe that the book of Thessalonians was Paul's first epistle he wrote, his very first one. And if that be so, think with me, maybe through Paul's mind, through the Holy Spirit, that when he wrote this, he goes, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle," 1 Thessalonians, "be read unto all the holy brethren." Now, there's some very practical reasons. When was the printing press invented? Or may I back it up? Who invented it?
Gutenberg.
He invented the printing press. And does anybody know the year?
1600.
Yeah, 1600s. That's right, 1600s. Before that, every scripture text was always handwritten. And scriptures were scarce. Most of the time, people learned by hearing, because scripture was read. That's how they would hear, the public reading of God's word. There's a second reason. One, so all could hear. Two, the second reason, I think, a practical reason, so all could hear, but that nobody would miss what Paul had to say. Now, we've looked at a lot of topics here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. There's a lot in here. And there's a lot in here about sanctification, purity, love, second coming of Christ, God's word, God's character. All these topics are covered. And for a practical, Paul didn't want them to miss any of them, because some people might just pick up on maybe the return of Christ and that maybe all they would share. He wanted them to get it all. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Now, I need a volunteer this morning. You don't have to say, do anything. Just help me out with my story here, my illustration. Who would help me here this morning? I promise I won't embarrass you or humiliate you. Okay, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Okay. Dan got an inspiration. He was going to be an author. He just decided to write a book. And if you were to write a book, Dan, what would you write about? How to fix cars, maybe?
Auto restoration.
Oh, he was into this. So he wrote a book on auto restoration. And Dan started giving all these books out on auto restoration to all of his friends. Giving them out. And a few weeks later, he saw one of his friends he gave a book to, and he asked him, "Did you read my book?" Now, what do you think Dan would like to hear? "Yes, I read your book." What if they said, "No, I didn't read your book"? How do you think Dan would feel? How do you think he'd feel? Maybe about this big, you know what I'm saying? And if he asked the same person next week or next month or whatever, and they never read his book, he'd probably feel a little put out, wouldn't he? Because he probably spent a lot of time writing that book. And, you know, an author, you know, the greatest compliment you can give an author is, "I read your book. I read your book." That's the greatest compliment you can give to an author. Now, when it comes to God's word, how do you think God feels about it if we read his word? Are we giving him a compliment when we read his word? Does he get blessed that we take time to read his word? Do you think that honors God? I believe so. And when he says here in verse 27, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle or this letter be read unto all the holy brethren." The power of God's word to change men's lives. You know, the Bible. Now, we today are very blessed people. We have the scriptures in our hands. Years ago, when this Thessalonians was written, a lot of people didn't have the scripture. They had to hear it, somebody read it to them, because they weren't available to everybody. But with that being said, can you tell a lot about a person by going to their Bible and opening it up? Can you tell a lot about a person? You probably really could. There's an old saying, "The Bible should be trusted and not just dusted." What is that implying? It's saying if your Bible's being dusted all the time, you're probably not picking it up very often. You're not picking it up, and it should be trusted. Now, I have, on me personally, like when I have my devotions, I like to underline verses. And I've been going through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. And every time I read a verse and God has a little golden nugget for me there, for whatever reason, I like that. I underline it. And it's amazing how many times when I'm just flipping through my Bible, I'll see that verse again. And ding, ding, it'll remind me of the blessing or something I got out of that verse or an encouragement. You know, it's important when God says that, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle," the Word of God, the Bible, that as we read it unto ourselves, as we have it, because for them, these believers, they didn't have it. They had someone read it to them. But we can read it for ourselves. And it can bless us. I wish I had one of these little clicker things. I saw this at a university one time. The professor could ask a question. Everybody had a clicker. It could be yes or no. And the computer would analyze it. And right behind him on the screen, he could take us, "How many of y'all did your assignment this week?" Boop. And he could say, "Oh, only half the class did the assignment." You know, instant. But you could do it without anybody knowing it. And I wish I could ask, "How many of you read the Bible all the way through?" Boop. And you could do it without embarrassing yourself. Because if I ask you, then all of a sudden, some people that haven't read the Bible all the way through, they'd be like, they don't want to lie, but they don't want to be embarrassed either. Their hand would be probably going like this, you know. But the reality of it is, God wants us to know His Word. He wants us to read it as God's people. And it's important that we make time. Now, true or false, everybody has the same amount of time during the day. Is that true or false? The thing comes down to, what do you do with your time? If we all have the same amount of time, but what do you do with your time? Now, there's seasons in life. Now, for my wife and I, devotional time. When my dear wife had four little kids under her feet, devotional time was a struggle. Because the minute you get up, or when you didn't want to get up, you have to get up because they're up and their feet are pounding around the house. It's hard sometimes. And there's seasons in life that you can give more time to the Word of God than other times. But the important thing is that you do make time for God every day. Now, for us as believers, this Bible, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read. We need to be readers of the Word of God and know the Word of God. Now, here's some practical things what the Word of God does for us. Now, by observation, there's two families that it just kind of struck me. Has anybody heard of John R. Rice? You know who he is I'm speaking of? Okay. And Elizabeth Elliot, okay, these two families. They shared about devotions in their own homes, reading the Word. And basically what they did for their children and family, they just read a chapter a day and had prayer around the table. That's what they did for devotions. And, you know, I kind of thought about that, you know, and there's different ways to do devotions. But one thing that struck me, one, that was a Bible-centered home, because every day they read the Bible together. That was Bible-centered. And two, it was an immeasurable amount, just a chapter, and then they all had prayer. And as I thought about that, devotions don't have to be really complicated. Now, I listened to Focus on the Family sometimes, and they had a fellow on there talking about family devotions. And boy, did they go way out for family devotions. And it was like he was telling about how they did family devotions. And like he told one story, they went to the meat market and got a cow. I'm just telling what they say, got a cow's tongue. They put Vaseline on the cow's tongue, blindfolded the children, and had them feel the tongue and ask them what they were holding in their hands. And the lesson was out of James about the power of the tongue and how you can use the tongue. I mean, that's how they did family devotions. And I thought, wow, if you had to do something like that every night, that would be like, how do you ever keep up with something? Because if you do something on this level, guess what? You've got to stay there or do something better the next time. Once you take it there, the kids are going to be wanting something more and more. And I thought to myself, do devotions really have to be like that? I don't think so. But what you want to do, you want to make sure you have a Bible-centered home. And you want to make sure that the atmosphere of your home is one that honors the Word of God. And this solemn charge that the Thessalonians had to believers to read the Word of God is important. Now, when you have a Bible-centered home, and you've got children in the home, and you're honoring the Word of God, you create an atmosphere in that home that their hearts are tender to the Word of God. Now, what does the Word of God do for us? Well, one thing the Word of God does for us, it brings us salvation. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, there's the Word of the Lord. We need to have a Bible-centered home, one that honors the Word of God, that the Bible is being read, because it brings salvation. Does anybody know what Romans 10:9 says? Romans 10:9. Can anybody quote that? Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 says these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Where does that confession come from? Well, in a Bible-centered home, when children are hearing the Word of God, it helps them to understand what Christ has done for them. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And The Word of God brings us salvation, the first thing. That's what the power of the Word of God. That's why we need to have Bible-centered homes, homes that honor the Word of God, that we read it, and that not only we read it, but we heed it, that we read the Word of God, that it brings salvation for us. Now, in my opening illustration, I talked about that manager that went out to the field that sent his center fielder onto the bench. You know, some people's lives get so messed up, they don't know where they come from, where they're at, or where they're going. They are just so confused about life itself and make such poor life choices. The Word of God guides our step. Turn to Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word, now this is the scriptures, this is a promise of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You need guidance? You can go to the Word of God. You need to know what to do? Go to the Word of God. Now, it's interesting how God uses His word sometimes. You can be reading a portion of scripture, and you have a situation, and that very day you can be having your devotions, and all of a sudden God will, poop, lift something out of that that's what you needed to hear. Because this situation's happening, and the Holy Spirit brings this thought and these ideas together, and all of a sudden you say, Lord, that's what I needed to do. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, that's what God, it gives us that light, that lamp to show us where we're going. Now, I've used this illustration before. Psalm 105 here says, Thy word is a lamp. A lamp gives light. You're walking forward. It's His word. It's in front of you. It's giving you light where to go. Now, if I take the Word of God, which is the light, and cast it behind my back, what is blocking the light then? Self. See, that's when you lose your way, you've put God's word behind you, you've put self in front of you. When you let God's word be in front of you, you let His word have preeminence over your own selfish desires, your own selfish passions, your own carnal ways, you put them behind, you put God's word before, you let His light shine, you're going to have good success in life. And you're going to have the blessing of God, and you're going to have a good conscience, and you're going to have a good reward, because God's word is going before you. You're letting it be a lamp and a light unto your path. That's what God's word will do. Why do we need to have Bible-centered home? What is God's desire for us? Well, one, His word brings salvation. Two, His word brings guidance to our steps. What else does God's word do for us? Well, God's word gives us wisdom and understanding. Look at Psalm 119, stay there, 130. The entrance of thy words, this is God's word, the entrance, in other words, I'm reading it, I'm taking it in, verse 130 of Psalm 119, the entrance of His word gives me light. I can see what I'm doing. I know where to find what I'm doing. You know, light's very interesting. How many of you ever walked into a darkened room and tried to find the light switch? And you're feeling all over the wall. You don't know how big the wall is until you try to find a light switch when it's dark. And all of a sudden, once you hit it, it's like right there. And you're thinking, well, how come I couldn't find it so quickly? You know, when you don't have light, you're just stumbling along. And for God's word, that is the light that we have. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, if you're simple, is that an insult necessarily to you? No, not necessarily. If you're simple, it just means you don't understand something. It's an old English word that you're just not sure what to do here. I don't have quite of an understanding for it. But God's word can give us that understanding and that wisdom that we need to live life. You ever heard of John Wanamaker? Do you know who I'm talking about? Okay. Somebody asked him, as an older businessman, what his greatest decision in his life was. And he says, I know exactly what it is. And when he was a young man, in the church he went to, he didn't own a Bible and he wanted one. And the Bible he wanted, I think, cost $2.95. It was a really nice Bible. He couldn't afford it, but his Sunday school teacher let him make payments as a young person and buy that Bible. He carried that Bible with him the rest of his life. And he said, that was my best decision I ever made. And sometimes we minimize the Word of God. We minimize its impact in our lives. But if we would let it be our light and we let it give us understanding to the simple. In other words, we need some help here. We don't have all the answers. It's like one person said, the more I know, the more I realize how little I knew. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The more you know, the more you realize how little you knew. And sometimes in our ignorance and our youthfulness, we can be so proud that we think we know so much about whatevers. But God can put us in situations that we don't have answers for, but God's Word does. And it gives us understanding to the simple. God's Word brings us salvation. It guides our steps. It gives us wisdom. And in Psalm 119, give me just a second here. The Word of God lifts our burdens. In Psalm 119, 28, my soul melteth, in verse 28, or weeps or grieves for heaviness. My soul grieves for heaviness. Strengthen me according unto thy word. What does God's word do for us? It lifts our burdens. Now, I don't know how you have your devotions. Sometimes for me, when I have my devotions, I just get my Bible and I read a verse and I pray about it. And I read a verse and I pray about it. And I read a verse and I pray about it. And you know what some of the burdens do for me? Like, I tell you what, God says in the Word, He says, if I'm having a conflict with somebody, He says, pray for your what? Your enemies. Pray for them. When I have a conflict with somebody, you know what I do? I pray for them. Now, it may not change the situation between me and them right away, but you know what it does change? It changes me. And the anger, the grief, the bitterness, the resentment that I have toward this person that had done me wrong, it just lifts. And I don't carry it with me. And I get up and I feel better about myself and about the situation. What does God's Word do for us? It can lift the burdens that we carry when we obey it. When it says, pray for your enemies and do good to them that don't do good to you, that changes me. And guess what that does? That moves me over under the blessings of God. See, if I return evil for evil, like people do sometimes, then where does that place me? That takes me out from under the blessings of God because I'm walking in the flesh. But if I take His word, verse 28, my soul is heavy. Strengthen me according to thy word. I do what His word says. I get the strength from it. I get the blessing from it. I get the help from it that I need. You know, when 1 Thessalonians says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle, this word of God be read unto all the holy brethren. And that means me and you, we're part of the holy brethren. That we obey it and we do it. And then we'll get the blessing from it. So what does the word of God do? It brings us salvation. The word of God guides our steps. The word of God gives us wisdom. The word of God lifts our burdens. And what else does the word of God do for us? Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy testimonies, the word that I read before me, thy testimonies in Psalm 119, verse 111, have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What does the word do? It brings me joy in my life. Thy testimonies, the word of God that I have taken as a heritage, this is what belongs to me. This is what I claim. This is what I'm following. An inheritance. This is what I bring into my life. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. What is the word of God? It brings us joy. Have you ever met a bitter person? I have. I met bitter people. And why do they just exude bitterness? They're angry at this person. They're angry at God. They're angry at life. Everybody's done them wrong. Nobody gives them a break. Just on the list goes. It's hard to be around those kind of people. You know why? It tends to what? Drag you down because they're so bitter. Well, how do you keep from getting bitter in your life and resentful in this fallen and cursed world? Well, his testimonies, God's word, this is what I've taken into my life, for they are rejoicing of my heart. I go to the word of God to get joy. I go to the word of God. Now, our lives here can be full of conflict, strife, problems, and worries, but there's a few things that don't change. One is, does God's love for me ever change? No. He doesn't love me more because I got problems. He doesn't love me less because he loves me just as much. Does God's position as God ever change because of my problems? He's still on the throne, what? Forever and ever. You know what that gives me? Security. Because I know I can be safe in his love. I know that he is all powerful. He doesn't remove himself from the throne. And that gives me security. And in that security, I can rejoice in God, my Savior, who, Romans 8:28 says, for all things work together for what? For good to them that love God. That God can take whatever I'm struggling with in my life and bring joy into it, knowing that I can trust him and knowing that he has a perfect plan for me. I've shared this story before. As a lady one time, Sunday school teacher, taught Sunday school her whole life, and the kids always were taught to be thankful. A young man in his class grew up. He was a businessman, this elderly Sunday school teacher in the hospital. He says, I want to go see my Sunday school teacher. He's going down the hallway into the elevator going up, and he thought to himself, she's old, she's sickly, she's weak, her health is failing. And he's walking in the hall, thought to himself, I wonder what she'll be thankful for. He walks into the room. The room is full of people that she has blessed all of her years as teaching, and he heard from her laying in the bed, she goes, Lord, I thank you for all these people that care about me. And he goes, aha, that's what she's thankful for. And see, as a Christian, that joy that you can have in those moments is because God gives that to you. Because you've honored his word, and his word has flowed through you. That thy testimonies have I taken for a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. They can bring you joy. And you know what God's word can do for us too? Look at Psalm 119:165. God's word can give us peace. Psalm 119:65, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, God's peace that passes all understanding can keep our hearts and minds on him. We have that great peace that comes from God. God's word gives us peace. And it's a blessing. John 14:7, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's God's word that gives to us. Well, turn back over to 1 Thessalonians 5:27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And you know the first person that needs to be read to is yourself. So my challenge this week to you, you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday comes again. This week, can you be in God's word every day for a portion of time? Because if you do, you're going to be a blessed person. And not only be in God's word, but underline these verses that are meaningful to you as you read the scripture. Pray for wisdom. Pray that God will guide your steps. Pray that God will lift your burdens. Claim that joy He gives you and that peace, and God will bless you. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, which is truth, and Lord, the salvation, the guidance, the wisdom, the burdens that You lift, the joy it brings, and the peace You provide for us is all by Your word. And Father, I know that Satan would want to steal the word away from us, God. And Lord, help us be diligent. And Satan will give us 1,000 reasons why we can't be in Your word this week. But Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful and we'd be blessed by that, God. And oh Lord, I know that You'll bless us as Your people as we honor Your word. So Lord, bless us in Your word and give us that diligence, that due diligence to honor You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.